Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is our first lesson for this Sunday, recorded in the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus, what is better than one person telling us good news? Right, it's two people telling us the same good news in full agreement about their message. Last week, through the prophet Jeremiah, we heard the Lord promise the exiles in Babylon their expected end of hope and a future, not only from Babylon, but in their salvation. In our first lesson today, we hear the prophet Ezekiel, who was with the exiles, repeat that same good news. As I was looking through the lessons for this Sunday, trying to decide about whether preaching about Christ or about mothers and families, this text led me to conclude that I could do both. As I looked at this first word of God in the prophet Ezekiel that speaks about their and our salvation, it occurred to me that there were some parallels there with what God's Word says in the Holy Scriptures about marriage and family. I hope you'll agree with me that Mother's Day is a good opportunity to just pause a bit and consider those wonderful blessings God has given us for our life on this earth, marriage and family. And so we'll do that this morning and consider the parallels between salvation and marriage. And we'll see that, first of all, they both talk about a change in dwelling. And they both also talk about a change in heart. And they parallel each other as they describe a change in relationship. Like through the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah, through Ezekiel, the Lord promised the exiles that He would one day deliver them from the nations, from all the countries, and that He would return them to the land I gave your forefathers. They would experience a change in dwelling. No longer would they dwell among the heathen nation of Babylon and its false gods, but one day they would again dwell back in Israel, in Jerusalem, fulfilling God's promise not only once but twice to give that land to Abraham and to his family. The message here, of course, is also the deliverance of their souls and their salvation from sin. No longer will they dwell among those dead in trespasses. No longer will they dwell in the darkness of unbelief. But the Lord, as we'll see in a minute, changes them in their dwelling by changing their hearts. But here in the first part of our text, the Lord talks about changing their dwelling from Babylon back to Israel. Isn't marriage generally a change in dwelling? Moses talked about it already in Genesis when he says that a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and they will be one flesh. Except under some rare circumstances, marriage means a change of dwelling. It means a husband and wife now leave that dwelling of their fathers. They no longer dwell with their siblings, but now they establish a new dwelling, a dwelling that God and they created when they made their promises to God and one another before the altar when they got married. So they leave the dwelling of one family and move and create the dwelling of a new family. A new family of man and woman, husband and wife, and should God grant the blessing later, the heritage of children. But this change in dwelling is not true only in marriage in the sense of location. Isn't it also true in the sense of responsibility? When a man and a woman get married and establish a new dwelling, that is, dwelling isn't only the house they live in, it's also the new responsibilities that they have. No longer is a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, responsible for their parents, generally at that time, nor are the parents responsible for their children. No longer is that sibling watching out for each other a primary concern. But now that dwelling of responsibility takes place between the husband and the wife. No longer am I, as a husband or a wife, responsible only for myself. But now I'm responsible also for my spouse. Now I'm responsible for who we are as that one flesh, united by God in Christ through marriage. Now I am the parent who is responsible, should God grant that blessing, of my children in my home and in my family. When a man and a woman get married, they establish that new family unit. While we know at the same time, we do not sever the former familial relationships, but don't they just take on a little bit different approach and a little bit different application? The Lord told Israel that He was also going to give them a new heart. He was going to give them, and this has been said in more than one sermon on this text, a spiritual heart transplant. He was going to take out from them their hearts of stone and put in them a heart of flesh. The comparison here is now a living heart, a new heart that has life in Christ. Don't these, and they also would be cleansed. They would be cleansed from all their iniquities, impurities, and idols. He would sprinkle them with clean water. A new heart sprinkled clean with water from impurities. Doesn't that new heart remind us of David's words in Psalm 51, which we sing virtually every week? Create in me a new heart, a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. God, as you did for them and would continue to do for them, take out from me that crusted, hard heart of unbelief and love for sin that is naturally mine, that will kill me, and give me a new heart, a pure heart that gives me life because it is the beating heart of the resurrected Christ. And when don't those words of cleansing remind us of Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul writes about the comparison and parallel between marriage and the relationship of Christ and His church. We were not able to be the bride of Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, in our sins. And so God poured water on us, the water of holy baptism, to wash away all of our impurities, to wash away our idolatry, so that as members of the church, we would be that holy, beautiful bride, married in faith to Christ, the Son of God, our heavenly bridegroom. And both of these pictures, don't they remind us of the angel's words to the disciples on ascension about Jesus' return? Jesus will return to change our dwelling again from this earth, perhaps even a grave, to the dwelling of our eternal home in heaven. And when He comes for us, He will find us alive with that beating heart of faith in Him so that we can live with Him forever in heaven. With that beating heart of faith, we now, as God says and the Lord says, Israel, they would seek His word and we would seek to obey His commands. And mothers and fathers would hand that lamp down to their children as we sang in our psalmody this morning. Our Lord Jesus Christ has purified us from every sin and has made us worthy to be the bride of Christ. It is also with that beating heart of faith that you and I are able to be truly Christian mothers and Christian fathers, to be truly Christian husbands and wives. Being those things doesn't mean that we have a lot of religious sayings framed hanging on the walls of our homes. Being a Christian mother and father means recognizing our children as a gift of the Lord and bringing them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Being a Christian husband and wife is recognizing my spouse as a gift of God. A gift of God that submits to one another. A gift of God who recognizes her husband as the head of the family, as Christ is the head of the church. A husband who recognizes total, willing, complete sacrifice, even to death for his wife, as Christ gave Himself even into death for us. It is that new heart that God gives us through the gospel that beats in rhythm with His, that moves us as Christians to carry out His commands and to obey His word in our Christian families. But the Lord told Israel that He would do one other thing. He would change their dwelling from Babylon to Israel. He would change their dwelling from this earth to heaven. He would give them living, beating hearts of flesh that trusted in Jesus Christ, the coming Savior, instead of the stony hearts of unbelief. And then He says, along with that, I'm going to change your relationship. He told the remnant, you will be my people, and I will be your God. We are not God's people because of something we've done. We are God's people because of something God's done. God in His grace has filled us with the Holy Spirit to create saving faith in our hearts. Something in God didn't change that saved us. Something in us didn't change that God saved us. God changed our relationship with Him in Christ. He no longer counts our sins against us. He has reconciled the world to Christ. God made Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us and has called us to faith. And you and I are now in a new relationship. We were not in a relationship with God by nature. In fact, we were the enemies of God. And God was against us and rejected us in our nature because of our sin. But by calling us to faith through the Holy Spirit in the gospel, He has given us that new relationship. God is who He has been eternally. We are the same people we were when we were born, with a sinful nature. But in that new relationship with that new heart, we are all the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Like an adopted child becomes a member of the family. God took us into His family through holy baptism. This is the new relationship. God told those exiles in Israel to remember, you're going to be my God, or you're going to be my people, and I'm going to be your God, not because you can obey the commandments perfectly, but because I gave you a new heart. Because I brought you into my family. You're going to be my God, my children, and I'm going to be your God because I changed the relationship through the promise. Marriage is a change of relationship, isn't it? And I need that new heart that God gives me. Because who's the last person that I can think of as a member of my family? It is myself. And my natural heart is to think first and foremost only of me. But with that new heart that God gives me, as I promise before Him and to my bride or groom, that faithfulness even to death, it is with that new heart that I am able to keep that promise. To not think of self, but to think of others. To think of that one who we are together. John writes of this in his gospel in the first chapter. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. You and I are the children of God. We are in that relationship because God has given us that right or that privilege or that blessing of being a part of His family. He treats us like a loving father, and we treat Him as grateful children. And isn't that a good parallel between our salvation and being members of a family? That as parents, we treat our children with Christ's love. And as children, no matter what age, we treat our parents with Christ's love. Because we're family in Christ. We're family with our spouses. We're families with our children only because God has given us those blessings. And He has given us our salvation so that we can carry out those responsibilities, whatever they may be, as He guides, directs us, and empowers us. Just as our relationship with God changes through faith in Christ, so our relationship in the family changes through faith in Christ. And so this morning, to all of our families, single or married, with or without children, but especially today to all of our mothers, may God continue to bless us in those families and bless us with our expected end, our hope, and our future when Jesus returns. Amen.